Now, if you have your Bibles, I'm about you to Psalm 56 tonight. Psalm 56, it's a psalm for times of distress. And we look at the whole idea is the power and persistence of fear. And we see it in this psalm, Psalm 56. We'll look and see what God has to say here tonight. Hopefully it'll be encouragement. Because everybody here, one thing we learn about difficulty, stress, or anxiety of life, we really are never absent. Never have periods of time, especially long periods of time, where we're just absent of those things that we have to deal with. And we can see that very much in the life here of David. Psalm 56, we'll be looking at all the verses through the message tonight, so I'll not spend all the time reading them over and over again, but we will look at verse number 3, pause for prayer, and get right to the message. The Bible says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and we ask that You would use this message tonight to help us to remember who You are, and God, where our assurance comes from, where our comfort comes from, where strength abides. And God, may we be able to live life in spite of things out there that's on the horizon, or things that that may consume our minds and our hearts, keep us up at night. God, help us to realize that we have comfort in You, and realize that You will take care of us. I'm thankful that You're faithful to us as Your children. And Lord, You don't abandon us. And Lord, we can rely on that. In Jesus' name, amen. Fear is an emotion that's triggered by threat, or a perceived threat, we might say. It might just be something that may basically be in our mind. The fear comes from, they say, a survival mechanism that really signals our bodies to respond to some type of danger. You've heard the fight or flight response, and that's really what happens as a result of fear. You either fight or you run. And, let's say a good run sometimes is better than a bad stand, okay? So we deal with fear, and it's part of God put in us, I believe, to keep us safe. But you realize this, and I've lived long enough, you think, man, I'll be glad I won't have to worry. One day I get past this, and I won't have to worry about nothing. You ever had those feelings before? I have. So you got to just get through this. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Once you get through this, there's always something else on the other side, isn't there? There's always something there to deal with. A struggle, a fear. It may not be a physical danger in your environment, but it can be something that is in your head and almost makes you incapacitated. Living under constant anxiety or fear, medically, just reading it, causes several health consequences. And part of the reason a lot of people have a lot of these physical health ailments is because of living with this and not casting their cares upon the Lord and learning how to do that and leave it there, okay? Living with the stress of fear weakens our immune system. Prolonged anxiety and stress, they say, leads to cardiovascular trouble and damage. It can lead to gastrointestinal problems. It accelerates aging and brings about premature death. Well, that probably already, just thinking about that, I'll scare you a little bit, okay? You said, Brother Greg, you helped me one bit so far, okay? I'm going to try to get there. Fear affects your memory, so if you're living with a lot of stress, maybe you'll not remember all that I just said to you, that what fear causes, but it can affect our long-term memory. That disrupts our ability to process information correctly and quickly. It's like our brain is dragging behind. They say it's like our brain is trying to load information to process, and it just can never load. Fear that's sustained is what causes post-traumatic stress syndrome in soldiers, because they're living under this heightened pressure day in, day out of fight or flight and no relief. And some of the same symptoms that our soldiers face can be brought about with people who are living under anxiety for a long period of time. Because they have every moment, Every day they're living through stress and strain. A lot of things that people fear. I mean, we could look at it probably a thousand ways. People fear for their health. Maybe there's something going on there. Some people fear that they're inadequate to what they're trying to do. Some people fear the uncertainty. They don't know the future. And that can be very stressful. We don't know what's on the horizon. Some people fear failure. I've seen athletes that could have really been really phenomenal, but they were constantly afraid that they would mess up. And they just couldn't live with the idea that they would fail and not succeed. That sounds crazy to me. Some people fear rejection. Very reasons we got, you know, psychologists explain why people feel rejection, but people fear that. Some people feel like they're going to miss out. They actually got something called now, they call this, it's kind of like a syndrome they call with a fear of missing out. They're so constantly wishing that they were somewhere else than where they are right now that their fear of missing out becomes a distraction in life, and it messes up their relationships and all kinds of stuff, and they can't focus on what is before them, but rather it's always what's out in front of them. So they're constantly afraid they're going to miss out on something, and they miss out on everything as a result. There's a fear of change. Change is inevitable, right? I mean, let's just be honest. But most people don't like change. I mean, they just don't. McDonald's can try to change up its drive-through system on the windows, and we don't like it, right? I mean, we're complaining. We can do a lot of things. People just say, well, why do we have to change this or that? What it does is gets us to the place that we are not trusting God one day at a time, because we're constantly at a place where all things change, we're upset. I can move on, but there's a fear of losing control. A lot of people like to be in control. When they're not in control, they're upset. They're afraid to do things because, guess what? It might be out of the bounds of their control. They'll not be able to have their hand in it. There's some that's fearful of being judged. Feel like someone's always watching them. Someone's always passing a perception about them. Some people have a constant fear of the worst case scenario. Something bad is going to happen. There's a fear of getting hurt. We were talking last night and pulled up, thought, I wonder how many fears are in the Bible. And a couple things pulled up, said there were 365 fear nots in the Bible. Well, I thought that too, Rodney. Then I got to looking. And there's actually only 103. But you know what? The way I look at it is this. If there's 103 times our Bible says fear not, that's adequate for the 365 days this year, okay? Can we all agree with that? That's more than enough for God to have to tell us, fear not. It is one of the most repeated commands in the Bible. Fear not. Be not afraid. God has told us that over and over and over again in the Scriptures. Fear is, why is that? Because every human being deals with some type of fear. Now, David talked, there's a lot about his enemies here. That was one of his fears. But regardless, don't think tonight the message is just about having an enemy that's out to get you, because it's not. It's about that looming fear that is there. How do we deal with it? Because fear is persistent, right? It is perpetual. It is always there. And it has a power over us, and we need to learn how to deal with it. In Psalm 56, David is talking about the life of David and dealing with David when he went up to the Philistines of the Gath. And you'll find this, how David had to learn to live and to deal with pressure around him in his life from every direction. And there's several things he admits that he's struggling with. Well, look, if you would, in verse number 1. Let me say this. He was concerned his enemies would consume him. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. That was a fear. It's going to be consumed. And fighting daily oppresseth me. Look at verse 2. Mine enemies would, notice again, daily swallow me up. He talks about many that fight against me. O thou most high. And of course, we read verse 3. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. And God, will I praise thy word and have put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. But notice again, he goes back, every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Now, so David has a lot of things that he says here. And the first thing is he's concerned these enemies would consume him, that they would destroy him, and that they would ruin his life or kill him. That was it. Not only was he worried about this, he was worried about being confronted by them. The Bible says they would swallow me up, fighting daily. It says, oppresseth me. And he says, mine enemies would daily. Now, notice all those times it mentions daily. Why is this? I think it's important to understand this because there's always going to be, every day, there's going to be something looming in our mind that can cast fear upon our life if we allow it. Every day. So are we going to live by that fear? And so David, knowing that, he said, there's many that you see that there's enemies wanted to confront him everywhere they went. They were fighting with him. They were oppressing him. But not only that, you find that in verse number 3, his enemies was his concern. You say, how was that? Or excuse me, verse 2, his enemies were his concern because mine enemies, plural. He had a lot of things going on, a lot of fears out there. With daily, the Bible says, how many enemies? There's many. I don't know. Let me just tell you something. There's many fears in life every day that will oppress us if we allow it, that will consume us if we allow it. There's many fears out there that can just ruin our life. Now, if God says it 103 times, I think we ought to pay attention. Because fear is an emotion that's common to every human experience. David faced daily enemies. And if he wasn't careful, peace was going to escape him every day. He was aware. They were there. They were ready to attack him. They were ready to get him. You see, he realized people were going to confront him. You know what? With these things looming in our life, you know what it can do to us? It can put us on edge. David, no doubt, felt like he was on edge. And everywhere he looked, he'd think, they're out to get me. There may not be people, but there's something out there that's like a beast, monster hidden beneath the bed or in the closet somewhere that is ready to get us sometimes. We can be consumed by that, and if we are, we'll be on edge. And on that, you'll find that not only were they there getting him, but they were working behind him. The Bible says, as you look in verse number 5, every day they rest my words. What's that word rest means? It means they twist my words. So not only did he have to deal with them when he looked at them, but you'll find these enemies were working behind him. They would take the words that he said and they would twist them. They would slander what he said. Much like what happens in Washington today. It don't matter what party. It doesn't matter who's in power. It don't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. Somebody's going to take the president's words and they're going to twist them and convolute them and misrepresent them to make them look bad in public. And it may be just a soundbite, but you know what people do? They often do that to people that oppose you. They'll do the same thing. They twist your words. So David realized this. Here he was facing this. He had a similar battle that was going on in his life, just like what happens in Washington, you see. If our words are constantly misquoted and questioned, guess what? You're going to be on alert and you're going to be cautious. They twisted his words and the people were thinking the worst of him. So David was living with this fear. Every day they rest my words and all their thoughts are against me for evil. So they all their thoughts about him, everything they thought the worst of him. And you know what David's enemies did? They plotted against him. You see that verse 6. They gather themselves together. They gather themselves together. So David, can we agree, had many things to be fearful of. Many things to deal with. And he says, they hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. So they plotted. They waited for the opportunity. They were watching for the very moment that David slipped and that they would get him. You know, sometimes there's things in our life, if things just, if they don't fall in place, we think everything's going to come to an end. That's not the case. You see, I want you to see that in verse 7 and 8, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people of God. Talking about the enemies. He says, thou tellest my wanderings, but put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? I'll say this just in a moment, but I want to tell you something. David cries out to God and says, God, I want you to mark my tears. I want you to record them. I want you to keep record of them and my enemies. Keep record of them. God, are they not in your book? I just want to make sure you have kept record of what they have done to me. You see, one thing we see, David's focus really starts changing at this point in time. Why? Because with all this fear in his life and all these things opposing him, all these things coming against him, all these things he's struggling about, every worry, every anxiety from every angle, he realized he could not handle it himself. Couldn't do it. It was beyond him. In verse 3, he says, well, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. I want to tell you something, that's the best place we can be. When we get there, that we say, God, there's nothing else I can do but trust in you. Now, what you'll find starting at verse number 9, he starts dwelling upon that thought. And he starts really thinking about that. So, look at verse number 9. He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. So, what we find here, that David, when he looks here, how did David deal with all this? How did he find a place of no fear in his life that he could operate? David says, verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. David knew who he was in the eyes of God. So number one, David had a firm reliance upon God. How do you deal with fear in your life of any sort? You better have a firm reliance upon God, know who He is, and know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. No, I wouldn't stop. I'd go on to the rest of Romans chapter number 8. Amen? In fact, I'm going to turn there tonight. It's not in my notes, but you're going to get it. Okay? Romans chapter number 8. Paul dealt with this idea too. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But he says, those things ain't going to get us. The boy is saying, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. David understood this. He had a firm reliance upon God. So you have a firm reliance upon God. Let me tell you something. You can get through a lot. You can get through about it. You can get through anything with a firm reliance on God. Not only did he have that, how did he go without fear? He had firm reassurance through God's Word. Look, the Bible says in verse number 10. He says that in God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Let me tell you, the place to get the most assurance when you're dealing with anything is the Word of God. That's it. We listen to everyone, advice from everybody. Read the Word of God. See what God says. Turn to Him. Read the Psalms. Read the Scriptures. See what God says. And not only that, you have to have a firm refuge in faith. And that's what he had. He had a firm refuge that he found in his faith. Look in verse 11. The Bible says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. So his faith was in God. His faith was in a person, the person of God. Notice verse 12. The Bible says, thy vows are upon me. In other words, the promises God had made. O God, I will render praises unto thee. So his faith was in the promises of God. Now, look at the next verse. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" So his faith was in God's plan. Now, so in verse 11, his faith is in the person of God. Verse 12, his faith is in the promises of God. Verse 13, his faith is in the plan of God, what God's plan for him is in this life. David could have courage to face what was ahead. We need to remind ourselves of these things. If God says it 103 times, we need to remind ourselves often to be not afraid. Now, what I like looking within this text is a couple things. I think a lady went to D.L. Moody one time and she said, "Mr. Moody, I found a verse." It was either Moody or Spurgeon, I don't remember. And she told him that she found a verse that gave her great comfort. And it was this, Psalm 56:3, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." Whichever one of those great preachers it was said, "Ma'am, that's a really good verse." He said, "But here's a better verse." And he pulled it from the book of Isaiah. And she said, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." But he said in Isaiah, it says, "I will trust and not be afraid." So there's two alternatives. You can start trusting the Lord when you get afraid, or you can just start trusting the Lord right now and you don't have to be afraid. Your choice. Both of them work. But one of them is like traveling first class, the other is like traveling second class, right? How do you want to get through life? And let me just say this to you. Look back at verse number 7 and 8. "Shall they escape by iniquity in thine anger, cast down the people of God?" Are they going to get away with this? God, are you paying attention to this? Are they going to get away with this? "Thou tellest my wandering." You know where I'm going. You know what I've done. But thou my tears... Verse 6, "Put thou my tears into a bottle." In other words, I want you to measure my tears, and I want you to record them in a book. Let me just say this to you. If God records your tears, be assured that He's going to respond to your cry. There's a lot there tonight, and I could go on, and I guess I could go on and on. But I want you to know we're all going to face a type of looming fear throughout life. How we deal with it is what really matters. And David realized that he had a God that he could run to. He had one he could fully rely on that had never let him down. Your God will never let you down. You can trust Him. Our Father, I thank You for the Word of God tonight. I ask that You would use this message to comfort hearts. I don't know what's going on in anybody's life, but I'm thankful that You're still God. You're still just as powerful today as You ever was. You're still just as powerful today as the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. You're still just as powerful today as the walls of Jericho come tumbling down and as Jesus walked upon the Sea of Galilee in the midst of darkness and fear. He was on top of the water, and I'm thankful, God, He's still on top of our storms. I pray that You would help us to leave here saying, you know what, God's still God. He still loves me, and He's bigger than any problem. Think of that song, The Veggie Tales, that God is bigger than the boogeyman, and we need to remember that. I thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.